Hey, friends. Welcome back to the Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. Yes, I'm trying out a few new ways to intro the podcast. Just want to be a little more conversational. If you have any suggestions for me, I am all ears. Today is Saturday, May 24th. I hope that you're having a relaxing day. Perhaps you're on the go and you're listening in the car. Wherever you are, I'm glad that you're here. Let's take a few minutes to dig into God's Word together and reflect on what He might have for us today. The first passage we're reading is John chapter 16, verses 16 through 33. I'm finishing up this week in the English Standard Version. The title in my Bible says, "Your sorrow will turn into joy." A little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she will no longer remember the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Let's keep reading. This title is, "I Have Overcome the World." "I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Let's just reflect on this text a little bit. Jesus tells his disciples that they are going to mourn, but their sorrow will be turned to joy. And he likens it to a pregnant woman who is sorrowful up until the moment she gives birth, and then she forgets the anguish because of the joy of seeing this child. It is a pain that gives way to new life. And that is, in essence, what happens with the cross. We have sorrow seeing the Lord of life crucified, and yet on the third day, that sorrow is turned to joy. Then Jesus promises that in this world we'll have trouble, but that he has overcome the world. In this passage and the passage that we read in John 14, Jesus seems to indicate that we can ask anything in his name and it will be given to us. We need to dig a little deeper into what Jesus might be meaning by this, because each of us know that we've asked for something that we didn't see come to fruition. First, let's think about the context. Jesus is referring to a time after his resurrection when the disciples won't be asking him in person, but they'll be asking the Father. And to do so, the Spirit is helping them to approach the Father. And it's not a magical formula of them saying in Jesus' name, nor is it a magical incantation for us. Instead, it's more like getting a mindset that Jesus, you're all powerful and you are my Lord, and I want to pray according to what your mission is and your will is, and I acknowledge that you are Lord of all. And when we align ourselves with Jesus and we ask for things that are in line with his mission and his will, he's saying, I'm going to grant it to you because I want to see my kingdom come on this earth. Another passage that kind of illuminates this conversation is John 15:7, where Jesus is talking about the abiding, the transformation that he's doing in us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. When we come to the Lord in Jesus' name, we're praying out of the relationship that we have with Jesus, and hopefully that reflects his heart and his mission. Okay, we need to move on to Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. These verses aren't found in the earliest manuscripts of Mark's gospel. Most scholars believe that the gospel actually ended at verse 8 with the women at the tomb, and they were trembling and they were afraid. But I can imagine that the earliest Christian scribes thought, oh, we need to tell the rest of the story and summarize some of the resurrection accounts. And that's exactly what verses 9 through 20 do. While much of what we read, you'll say, oh yeah, that's very familiar. That sounds like each of the other gospels. Verse 18 is a little different. It says, they, meaning the disciples, will pick up serpents with their hands and they will drink any deadly poison and it will not hurt them. This unusual language is not a call to test God about dangerous things. We know there are snake-handling churches out there. It's more that the early church saw signs that God provided as a confirmation that the message was true. Remember in Acts 28 when Paul shakes off that snake? I think he was in the island of Crete. I have to look back and see to make sure. But all the people think, oh gosh, he's going to die because he got snake bitten. And then he lives and they think, oh, he's a god. And actually he has to say, no, I'm not a god. In fact, I come to tell you about the one true God. And so the point isn't about the spectacle. It's about God working through ordinary people with this message that Christ has come. Christ lived a perfect life. He died and he was raised again so that we too may be raised. Okay, that's my best try at it. We have to wrestle with these things, but I'm going to read the passage and would love to continue the conversation with you if you'd like. Starting with verse 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Our final passage is Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Thank you so much for joining me today as we read God's Word. We open our hearts to you, Lord, and we ask for you to continue to do your work, your miraculous work through your Word, which is eternal. We ask that you would work in us to will and to act according to your good purposes. We ask, Lord, that you would bring about situations and circumstances in our lives to full redemption. We pray, Lord, waiting for your answer. We want to align ourselves with you. We want to abide in you. Help us to know your will and to follow you. We love you and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.